And go.
I need that official countdown. You got to count me in.
And one, and a two, and a three.
You don't count up. You're supposed to count me in backward.
You three, know what? Let's just one.
Let's
and
just
go.
Jump back in. I'm glad that you brought us back for Super Tuesdays. Something that you've always found important to make sure we're educating the community on civic life.
Yep.
And politics.
Yep.
And ish.
And ish.
You know, you want to describe to people what the ish is?
The ish is just some other ish that we might get into. And like predominantly it's going to be about politics and the foundations and the fundamentals about stuff. But every now and then we might go down a rabbit hole and we'll hang out in there for a little while just to bring a little bit of a more roundful.
I can dig that.
Yeah, roundful.
Should we give any disclaimers now that we're not actually promoting anybody in particular?
That
some people aren't going to like what we have to say.
Facts.
Some politicians that we talk about might feel threatened because I've been behind the curtain and I'm telling them some of the secrets that they might not want constituents to know.
That too.
We might be using big words, and we're not trying to shame anybody. We're just trying to educate the people.
But I promise you that I don't know the big words, so I will ask, and he will define and tell us, and I'm gonna play. I don't know a lot about politics, but I think that they're very important, and I've learned a lot just from speaking and conversing with you and asking questions. So I'm gonna ask the questions that you guys out there are not necessarily asking, therefore you can't join in those really great conversations. So this is gonna help you guys to formulate your own opinions, have very good conversation. Remember that we are two human people, so we're going to have our own opinions too, but our opinions are just that, our opinions.
And we'll try to tell you when it's our opinion versus, you know. But the primary is only a couple weeks away. I want to say it's less than four. I think
I'm
it's 3 weeks away.
I'm nervous about that.
Do you even know all the names? I don't even know all the names of the city council at large candidates
now. No, you put out a status update today.
That there are like 15
that
candidates.
That they're like 15, and I said, well...
Who have you heard from?
I've heard from one, and that's only because I've seen her around in places that I've been. Big shout out to Cicely Graham. Again, I'm not endorsing her at this moment because she's not even my district, but I have seen her out there doing the footwork and continuing on her fight. But that's
just a little shout out for people's information, if you do know that name, she is one of the candidates, one of the many candidates actually running for city council in a district seat. I believe District 5, which is part of Hyde Park, a little bit of Rosendale, some of Mattapan.
That's a big district.
Yeah, that's a seat that's being vacated by Tim McCarthy, City Council Tim McCarthy. So
sounds
now it's
like
an open
country
seat.
Singer.
It could be or a good old Irish folk singer.
Yeah. You know,
one
I
or
like
the other.
It.
Maybe both.
I wonder if he'll sing for us.
I hope not. But I'm not saying he's not a bad singer. It's just not that kind of show. So where you want to dive in? I gave you a nice little cheat sheet, little maps.
So let's start out with like the very basics.
So let's talk about city councilors. There's two types of city councilors, right? Because that's all who's running for election this year. There's no mayor on the ballot. There's no state representatives on the ballot. There's no state senator. There's no president. This is as local elections get.
As we can be. And you once told me a little trick that the local elections mirror the official big elections. Like the president is like the governor, and then goes down.
Yeah, I mean, these are the ones that impact your daily life. So these are the people that have control or have a direct impact on your schools, on your city budget, on whether your plastic bags get banned, on
and
whether
you're. Is this the very basic level of?
This is the entry level.
Entry level. Okay.
First job is you get it for 2 years at a time. They pay about $100,000 per year. And this is where everybody likes to get into the game.
Okay, so this is city councilor.
This is city councilor.
All right, so we're going to dive into city councilor right now. We're going to name this episode city councilor and ish.
And ish. So the ish part of it, there's two types of city councilors. Right, so that map that you have in front of you, I know it's tiny, but you got your reading glasses on. There are 13 city councilors, a nice baker's dozen, right? So 13 city councilors, 9 of them are district councilors, meaning that they represent a district, they represent a collection of neighborhoods. It might not be the whole neighborhood, but they have an area, and all their areas are touching.
What are they called, those 9?
Those are the district councilors.
District councilors.
So I'll give you an example of a couple of district councilors. Councilor Kim Janey is the District 7 city councilor. She's your city councilor. Mm-hmm. She represents parts of Dorchester, but mainly Roxbury and a little bit of the South End as well.
Sorry, pause. If you're listening to this, I would encourage you to just jot, get a pen and a paper, and you can just jot it down so that you can have a visual of what we're actually talking about as we do it. We'll post our little pamphlets and shit too. But
or you can hit that rewind button, you know, and just play it over and over until you get it.
Exactly. So 13 city councilors and 9 district councilors.
So 9 are part of that 13.
Okay.
There's 13 total. 9 of them are districts. Mm-hmm. And the other 4 are at-large city councilors. They're referred to at-large or citywide councilors. And they represent the entire city. They cover every resident in the city of Boston is represented by 4 of the same councilors, the 4 at-large councilors. They cover as much ground as the mayor does, in this case, Mayor Walsh.
Okay.
So everyone can vote for the at-large councilors. You can only vote for the district councilors if you are registered and live in that district that they're running in.
Okay.
You dig?
Okay, I can dig it. Okay. So, all right. So, somebody who is running for city councilor in Mattapan, I can't vote for them.
You can't vote for Cece Graham because she's running in District 5. You'd have to be a resident of District 5.
Okay.
She can't vote for Kim Janey because she doesn't live in District 7.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gotcha.
All right. So, that's just the 13. It's a body of 13. Mm-hmm. They are a legislative body, which means that they make laws, but their laws are a little bit different. They don't make state laws. They make city laws and ordinances. So how much parking fees cost, whether you can, like I said, ban plastic bags. That's who brought you the plastic bag ban in Boston. Your 13 city councils had to vote
them
on it. Right. So one or two of them thought it was a good idea. They probably had hearings on it. They had hearings on it. People liked the idea. They were able to sell it to 7 of their 13. You need at least 7 votes for it to pass.
Oh.
They voted for it to pass, and now you have to pay extra to get plastic bags.
That is not a bad law. I want to put that out. It's not a bad law. It's just
Sauce's opinion right here. Let's put that disclaimer out. Bad law for who?
I think we got to get used to it. Because I have lots of bags and reusable bags, but except when you have to go to the shop and shop or something like that.
You never remember to bring them.
So then they ask you if you want a 5-cent bag. You're like, no. So then you're walking out with all of your groceries, and then sometimes you're just like, fuck it, just give me the 5 cents.
So, I mean, that works until you're on like a fixed income or you're really poor.
Exactly.
And then it might start to sting a little bit.
Especially when you need like 20 bags.
Or you're going monthly. Yeah, exactly. Shopping. Or you're going many times in a month.
That's me.
Right.
Buy 14 things at. Okay. But anyways, so those people are the one who make the legislative laws. Right. You need 7 votes in order to get something passed.
Another thing they do is they vote on the city budget every year. So every year, the mayor, whoever the mayor is, will draft a budget and say, we're going to spend this amount on housing. We're going to spend this amount on parks. We're going to spend this amount on snow removal. We're going to spend this amount on schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to decide, well, you know what? That's not enough. I'm not voting for that budget. There's not enough money in that budget for youth development. There's not enough money in that budget for public safety. Or most of that public safety money is going to police. It's not going to youth development. So I don't want to support that budget.
Do they get to pick where they get to?
They can't pick it, but they get to make suggestions. So basically, the mayor needs 7 votes for his budget to pass.
Uh-huh.
So they can. This is where the politics. This is where the ish comes in.
Okay.
Because let's say I'm from Roxbury, which I am, and I feel like the parks in Roxbury are not getting the attention they deserve, mm-hmm. which they aren't. So I'm saying I'm not voting for this budget unless you increase the parks budget mm-hmm. by $1 million.
Oh.
Now, what happens if you can't pass a budget? The newspapers start to write about the mayor. The mayor's budget's not good. They ask where the holes are. Why aren't you voting for it? I tell them because the mayor's not paying enough attention to parks. Like, that's the politics that's supposed to go in to get your neighborhood. Especially if you're a district councilor, you get the things that your neighborhood is asking for, and you lobby for it with the mayor.
What does a city budget look like? Like, if we were to put a number on there, like, what is a city budget?
The city budget looks like $3.2 billion a year. Right? And $1 billion comes right off the top and goes to your public schools.
Okay. All right. I see that. Okay. So, all right. Keep on going.
So it gets broken up in different places. It can be, like I said, it can be real allocated. So you might have a line item for snow removal. You might have a line item for your year-round jobs. You have a line item for the police department. And so each department, you know, at the top has a line item where amount of money that they get that they're going to break down, and they're going to fold it up in terms of how much goes to payroll, how much goes to equipment, how much goes to, you know, all the different things that it takes to actually run that department. And these are the things that happen behind the scenes. So when you hear people talking about advocating for education or better schools or better transportation, these are where those things show up. So if you have a mayor who says that something is important to them, you should probably see that reflected in their budget. They probably have a line item in their budget that shows that they're adding more money to a problem that they've identified and think exists.
Where do they get these problems from? Just from what they know or from what these city councilors are telling them?
It should be a combination of both. It should be what they know. If they have their own department where their people are calling 311 and talking to the city regularly about their complaints.
That's my favorite thing to dial.
They can catalog those. But like I said, the city councilors are also supposed to be, the city councilors, especially the district ones, are like the mayor of their district. Mm-hmm. So they're supposed to be talking to their people at all times and coming back and saying, we need more of this, we need more of that, we need more crosswalks, we need more paint for public utilities, you know, we need those kind of things.
How do we get a hold of these people that are supposed to be these mayors of our little
city? The district councilors, you can contact all of them. They're all in City Hall. They all have a main number. You can contact 635-4000 would be the most simple number. I think that, or 4500. I think that'll probably take you to the 311 switchboard. I'm not sure how they have it set up now, but either way, you can just ask for your counselor by name,
okay,
and they'll transfer you right to that counselor's office.
Oh, nice. And that counselor, talk to them like, hey, how you doing?
Right. Well, you won't get that counselor on the phone probably right away. Each counselor, whether they're district or at large, I believe they get a staff budget of between $200,000 and $250,000 a year to hire a staff. So with that money, they can hire people that talk to you in your neighborhood. They can hire a policy director. They can hire a scheduler. They can hire a secretary. They can break that up into two positions, or they can break it up into 10 positions, however they decide to divvy up that payroll money.
Oh. Okay.
So they have complete control over their staff. So how diverse that staff, you know, so then you look at stuff like if you're an at-large counselor and you represent the whole city, you know, does your staff look like the city? Do you have multilingual staff?
Multicolored staff.
Right. If you're the district counselor for East Boston or somewhere that has a large second language speaking population, do you have someone that speaks that language?
Okay. All right.
So those are the little things.
How are these people broken up? So we talked about the wards and the precincts.
So each of the nine city councilors, each of the nine district city councilors represent approximately 61,000 people.
Damn, that's a lot. Ain't that a lot?
There's a lot of people in Boston, you think about it. Mm-hmm. I think our population's up to close to 500,000, especially when students are around, it might go a little higher than that. Oh. So we're, you know, 400,000 or 500,000 people at any time.
So these are each of the nine ones.
Each of the nines represent about 61,000 people. Now, when I say those 61,000 people, those aren't all voters. Mm-hmm. Those are just residents. That includes you and includes CK. You know what I'm saying? It's 61,000 people. Then in each district of 61,000, and that's a legal requirement. Like, you're supposed to have this a very close number in each district so that they're equal. Mm-hmm. And then you have a voting age population. Mm-hmm. This is where it gets nerdy. So this is where we get 101, almost 102 level.
Okay.
So you have 60,000 people, you have a voting age population.
Yeah.
Now that just means that how many people that live in that district that are over the age of 18.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean they're registered to vote or that they do vote. That just means you have a certain number of people able to vote.
Okay. All right.
How many residents live in that district that are 18 and plus?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then you have the voters.
And that's where the
ones that actually register to vote and can vote. And then you have the super voters who actually we track people, the political junkies track and make sure we pay attention to who's voting and how often they vote.
Tell us what a super voter is.
So a super voter is usually defined by somebody that votes in almost every election, especially primaries, Democratic primaries, city council primaries. These are typically people over 65 or people that really care about politics and understand that it's important to show up in a primary. They are people that you can count on to vote. These are people that the politicians pay the most attention to because these people pay the most attention to politicians.
Mm.
We have 15 to 20 candidates right now running for at-large, right?
Mm-hmm.
For four seats. So 15 people going for four seats. After the primary in September, only the top eight will move forward.
So let's say you've
been out in the summer and you really like some of these new candidates because there's a lot of them. Some of them bring some good energy. But you're like, you know, I'm going to vote for them in November.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be there in November.
They might not make it.
Because if you don't come out as a super voter, you don't come out for the primary and vote for them, they might not advance and score in the top eight to move forward.
So that's why voting is so important.
Especially if you like a candidate, right? If you want your candidate to move forward, the one that you feel like works the hardest, speaks to your issues, has talked to you, has asked you for your vote, you could miss the chance if you don't vote in the primary.
Wow.
So it just shows you're a more responsible voter. You come out for every election. Not just the big ones, not just when Diddy is telling
that's
you to vote or die.
That's where I aspire to be. I'm
like
working
that.
Up to that point. I just be voting for shit all the time. Like, oh, time to vote.
The more you vote, the more it tracks. It doesn't tell us, the computer software doesn't tell you who you vote for, mm-hmm. but it tells us that you voted.
That you voted. Okay. Yeah. So back to the precincts and
so
the
then
wards.
Wards and precincts.
Yes.
So in that district, each district of the 9 districts or the whole city are broken into wards and precincts. Mm-hmm. For those of you that might be hip hop fans or culture outside of Massachusetts, with cities like cities and states like Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana, or places in Texas, you've heard rappers talk about what ward they're from, especially in the South, it's big.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different language to describe neighborhoods. So if you live, or I live in Ward 13, Precinct 1 of District 7.
Jesus.
You got that? So that means, so when you say those numbers to me, I could tell where you live just in my mind. So that means I live in North Dorchester, because it's Ward 13, Precinct 1.
North Dorchester.
Right? That puts me between, on the Roxbury-Dorchester line.
Uh-huh.
And District 7. So I mean, Kim Janey right now is my city councilor.
Because district means what?
District is one of the 9 neighborhoods that groups that they broke up into. So then your ward is inside of that. So the easiest one to talk about is Ward 12, which is Roxbury. Almost all of Roxbury is absorbed into Ward 12. And then depending on where in Roxbury you live, you have a precinct. A precinct is just a smaller division of that ward. You get it? So let's say if you picture yourself down Dudley.
Wait, so there's 9 neighborhoods and they're broken up into wards.
9 districts. Those
9
are broken
districts.
Up into wards, yeah.
Yep. They're broken up into wards, and then the wards are broken up into precincts.
Yes. Now, the wards and precincts don't change whether you're talking city, whether you're talking state. You're always permanently in that ward and precinct that you live in.
And there's only 2 precincts?
No, there's several precincts in every ward. So,
oh, Lord.
So, like, Ward 12 goes from 1 to 9. You get it? So you could be, and if you vote in Roxbury.
According to this map, yeah. I'm Ward 12. And within
you're Ward
13.
13.
I'm Ward 13.
Which is a little bit to the right of it, between 12 and the water.
Oh, I see it. Yep. Right there, there. So in here, there's a bunch of little precincts.
Right.
Mixed
the 13-1, where I live, the 13-2, which you might be on the like 8 or 13. Where do you vote?
I vote down the street. Where you
at the Croc Center?
No, not at the Croc Center.
Cardinal Madero's?
Yeah.
So you're in 13-1 or 13-2. Right. So the precinct tells you where you vote, tells you who's in your neighborhood.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying there.
So you could be in 13-6, and that will put you way over in Savin Hill.
Oh.
And that's still part of Ward 13.
Kick that out. Get out of here, cat. Close that door.
Oh.
I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to do this. Like, I was like nervous.
So
like,
stray cats is the issue in Ward 13, Precinct 1.
So who do I talk to?
They'll just walk up in your house. We'll get to that when we get to committees. I'm glad it was a cat, not a skunk. That could have gone.
No, or a raccoon, because those raccoons over here are the size of you, bro.
Yeah,
we
would have changed this podcast real quick. That would have been the ish.
Big. Yep. All right. So we have
all right, so
9.
We're in the precincts.
Yep, precincts.
So the precincts make up a ward.
Mm-hmm. And they tell me where I'm supposed to vote.
And the ward makes up the different parts of the city. So
okay.
Give you an example. When mm-hmm. politicians talk about the black community mm-hmm. in Boston, they're talking about Ward 12, Ward 14, Ward 17.
8 and 18.
8 and a little bit of 18. Now, okay. The reason why they're talking about those wards is because those wards are where the majority of black people live. So, like mm-hmm. I said, Ward 12 is Roxbury.
Yeah.
Ward 14 is going up Blue Hill Avenue and Warren. You start to pick up Grove Hall and Dorchester. And Ward 17 is when you're in the Mattapan, still going up Blue Hill, still going south on Blue Hill. And Ward 18 is Hyde Park, a little bit of Rosendale. And ward, if you come,
what's eight?
If you come down into Ward 8, it's a little mix. You have Orchard Gardens. You have a large pocket of the Cape Verdean community, which in Wards 8, 4, 5, 6, and 7, which is over by the Croc Center, Dudley Street.
Clearly.
So, you know, we, as you start to absorb the numbers, you start to break down where people live by their wards and precincts.
Okay, I see.
And people that are similar still, you know, migrate and immigrate into in pattern. So, mm-hmm. you know, in the city of Boston, the Irish still live mostly with Irish. South Boston, mm-hmm. West Roxbury, South Dorchester, West Roxbury. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You could start to, you could find, you know, the majority of Latinos and Hispanics you're going to find in East Boston, which is going to be Ward 1, you know, the north side of the map. So you start to put the image together with the numbers and start thinking, if you're thinking politics, you're thinking about these neighborhoods, but you're also thinking about who represents
lives
them, who lives there,
okay.
And who's best to serve them in their issues.
All right. This is a lot of info.
That was a lot, right?
Yeah, that was a lot. Because it's like everything is broken down so small. Like it starts really big, like I'm over here and this is where I am. And then you break it down into a smaller part and then break it down into a smaller part. Is that why the census is so important?
That's a good question. Good question.
Thank you very much.
So the census is important because those numbers that are used from the census are used to shape the wards and precincts.
Oh.
And the districts. So every 10 years, the wards and precincts will mostly stay the same, but the district's lines might change.
You can move a district line?
Absolutely. And if you do it illegally, they'll send you to jail for it.
Really?
So there's something, we won't get into that. It's like 102. Okay. That's called cracking and packing. but we won't get into cracking and packing districts right now. But basically, let's say in our neighborhood, everybody moved out and it was just the two of us left in 13-1. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't really make sense to have a precinct with just two people in it. Mm-hmm. So they would push our precinct into a ward so that it would be absorbed, to make sure that it stays around that 61,000 number.
Okay.
So you always have to keep 61,000 in a district or mm-hmm. close to that number. And those neighborhoods always have to be touching. You can't say my district has Mattapan in it and it has the North End in it.
Oh, okay. They have to be very close to each other.
They have
other
to be
for
touching.
Them. Okay.
They have to touch.
All right.
Every precinct has to touch. You can't skip over. You can't jump a street. All of it has to be contiguous neighborhoods.
Huh. Okay.
See what I'm saying? You're about to be on pro level.
I'm about to be pro. Yo, I'm about to be pro. And I hope that you guys are out there listening and writing down too, because there is a lot of information, but we're trying to cover as much as we can. Just because there's only 4 weeks left to the primaries doesn't mean that our big election is not coming up. And hopefully if you guys know enough about the local politics, you will apply that in
no
greater
doubt.
Value later on down the
no
road.
No doubt. And that was the part yes. I was going to say. So please don't take this as just like tips on voting, because mm-hmm. it's really not. Like
yeah.
this is where you, when you, the more you understand this, the more you can put leverage, apply leverage on different politicians, mm-hmm. different city councilors, learn how to, you know, we throw around the words accountable and things like that, but we need to know what they do, what they can do, what they can't do,
yeah.
and what they're lying about. You
yeah.
know, and then you know who you should vote for and why you should vote for them, and you can think critically on your own. So mm-hmm. this is really giving you the games behind the curtain so people can make their own decisions. Like, I don't want people to think what I think. I just want them to think for themselves and be able to vote for the person they believe represents them the best.
It's so weird, though, because when we think about Boston, it makes it seem like Boston covers the whole of Massachusetts, because we're so like versed in talking about Boston as it is Massachusetts.
Yeah, we're a little egotistical
yeah.
with that.
How does it work when you look at the overall picture of Massachusetts?
So every single town, every city will have the same setup.
The
They'll
same
have their own wards and precincts, right?
All right.
And
all
it'll
right.
be based around their town laws, mm-hmm. how many people are in a district, but they'll have a ward, they'll have a precinct. Mm-hmm. So that language becomes universal.
Okay.
So, you know, whether it's, you know, you're organizing for a presidential candidate like Bernie Sanders, mm-hmm. or whether you're running for a governor or for city council, you're still dealing with the same apparatus of wards and precincts.
Okay.
And it's still, you know, whether you're in here or you're in Western Mass, it's still a little old lady who everybody knows in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. who we call like a precinct boss.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe she's been around 50 years and she's a ward boss, and that she has that nickname because politicians go to her, mm-hmm. because if you go to her, she can get you 130 votes from her precinct or ward, because
she's also
connected.
A super voter.
She's also a super voter and has been for 50 years. Mm-hmm. Like now you see, and then you start to understand politics. Like now you see why the pastors are involved,
yeah.
right? Because a pastor has, 400 people in their church. You can get in front of them. Mostly the most of them are older.
He's pretty much an influencer, pretty
exactly.
much. Oh, okay.
Exactly. Before they had Instagram, the pastors had you in front of the pulpit talking to hopefully registered voters about
That's in so, different precincts. That's so good that you put it like that. It's so funny how things just kind of have a way of like making a big ass circle about everything.
Yeah.
Like because of social media, there's so many more influencers. But if you look at like the leaders in your community, those are the people who can influence you.
Right.
And they about have how you're voting.
And they have different tools to do it. So they might, you know, I became an influencer in my community because I started to work for a city council and I realized I could get things done.
Mm-hmm.
So the little old lady walking down the street from the corner store would ask me about a crosswalk or a stop sign. I could turn around. I knew what numbers to call to get that stop mm-hmm. sign fixed or that crosswalk done. Now she sees, she goes, that Carlos, every time I need something in my neighborhood, mm-hmm. he gets it done.
Yeah.
So after doing that for several years with several people, people start to see you as, oh, that's the go-to. That's the mm-hmm. plug.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
that plug becomes the influencer. Now, once you grow that influence out block by block, you know, precinct by precinct, now you think about, well, I wonder if I'm well-known enough and people respected enough that I could run for office and mm-hmm. people will vote for me because they believe that I am the plug.
When we have these 15 candidates running for office, what are some of the things that we have to start looking for in their campaigns in order to make better decisions? Because we know better.
So this part, I'm going to preface with, this is my opinion. So this is the part where politics gets ugly, right? This is the part where it's like dating.
Mm-hmm.
Because politicians are setting expectations and people want to believe in these expectations. And just like the dating game, some people are consistent and some people aren't. So, you know, everybody's going to talk a good one. It's who can deliver, right? So one of the things you should look at is what they're saying and what they're saying they're going to do. And you have to contrast that by knowing actually what they can do. So we listed earlier, there's only a few things you can do as a city council. You can pass a law. If you can get six other councilors to agree with you, you can get them to vote on that. You can, passing a city ordinance, you can vote up or down on the mayor's budget, which only really slows it down. It doesn't stop it from ever coming out, but it'll eventually come out, but you can leverage that. And the third thing to city councilors, well, I should say third and fourth thing, they really get to use their soapbox, right? They really get to use what people call a bully pulpit. Because they're popular, because the media will pay attention to them, they can bring attention to certain issues. Now, they might not be able to solve the issues, but they can bring people around the issue. They can hold hearings to bring more attention to an issue, to bring experts in to speak on an issue, and begin to create solutions with residents and experts on the issues that you face in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So you should know the issues. You should know whether this person is using their time and energy to work on those solutions and what they're planning to do. Let's say they've never been in office before.
Because I find that we hear a lot of great things.
Give me some things that you hear, and I'll tell
like
you.
Like, we're going to stop violence.
Don't call anybody.
Stop violence. Stop gentrification. Get better equal housing.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum wage. Child labor laws. Community centers for children. You know everything about the children. So we hear so many things. I'm going to increase the budgets. Get public schools to be better. So it's a lot of like, ooh, I want to do this. Like, they sound good. Like when you were running for, you know, a position in school, like vice president, I'm going to put more vending machines in very goddamn well you can't put no damn vending machines in there.
And see, now you know that they couldn't put vending machines in there, right? So it comes down to the language, and this is kind of the game of it, is are they being honest about what they can and can't do?
Do they even know sometimes about what they can and cannot do?
You would hope that they do, but there's no guarantee. So let's start there. There's no real skill qualifications to running for public office, running for city council.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? Like, I find that crazy.
Well, yeah,
that
my man Jamal talks about that all the time. He wants like an aptitude test. Like, can you spell your name? Can you do this? Can you do that? But really, you get nominated by voters. So if you are if you're running for one of the four at large seats, you had to collect 1,500 signatures from registered voters in the city of Boston, and you had to turn them in within a 6-week span they gave you.
Uh-huh.
That is your qualification for getting on the ballot, 1,500 signatures. If you're running in a district, it's closer to, it's about 200, 210 of registered voters in that district that you need to get on the ballot.
And how do you get these votes?
You basically go down to City Hall, you sign your name on the paper, say, I wanna run for office. They give you a blank sheet of paper, some nomination papers, and you have to go find voters and ask them, would you please sign my nomination paper?
Can you please help me get into this
right
now?
I wanna get onto the ballot, and then you turn those signatures in, and that gets you on the ballot. Some people don't make it on the ballot because they're not able to get enough signatures, which should tell you if you can't get 1,500 signatures to get on the at-large ballot, which some people feel like is unfair, and I won't even wade into that rabbit hole right now, but the average winner, the average fourth-place finisher in the at-large race usually finishes with about 20,000 to 30,000 votes.
Oh.
So you should be able to get... You should be able to get,
because that seems like a lot of votes to get.
Right. But, I mean, you got 60,000 people in a district. You got a city of 500,000 people. You know, that's still like 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So it still is a small number in terms of turnout. So, yeah, you need to know. So when they say I'm going to fight for education, sounds good.
It sounds real good. I love it. I love fighting for education.
You don't control the schools. You don't control the mayor. You don't control the school committee.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're really saying is I'm going to talk about schools.
And hope that if I get in there, I can do something about it? Or right. Do they typically let it go?
Well, that's just a maybe thing. Now, if they really wanted to be honest and set the expectations fairly, they would say, listen, I'm not going to vote on a mayor's budget unless it includes a $3 million increase going to children with IEPs.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, like some, yes. that's a solid that you can say, I can make that expectation that I'm not, and that every year while that person's in office, if that's not on the budget, in the meantime, they got to speak to the mayor. Mayor, yeah. I really think this is important. I'm organizing parents, children with that have parents with IEPs. I'm talking to them. I'm in the newspaper about it. And then when the vote comes, I say to the mayor, you know what I ran on. I cannot vote for this unless you had the $3 million increase. Is it in there? No, then I'm not voting on it. That's
See,
it.
I feel like that is. I feel like that's nerve-wracking. Like, what if...
I mean, okay. But you can make that promise.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't necessarily make sure that gets done, because you can still get 7 votes from the other 12 counselors, but you're making a stand for your voters.
So when it comes back around, like, hey, I did not vote on this because I couldn't get...
Because otherwise, we can all say we're working on education, absolutely. And then education never changes, and you can say, and then people will say, oh, you didn't do nothing. You didn't have any hearings on education. We weren't in my community talking about it. I didn't see you in the news talking about it. I searched your Twitter feed. You weren't talking about it. You ain't said nothing about education in 2 years, but now you're asking me for my vote. That's how you really weigh what they're doing. Oh, we're trying to work on public safety.
How? And what are you doing?
And again, what can you do? You can pass an ordinance. Mm-hmm. What ordinance are you going to pass? You don't need to ban guns or bullets.
What's an ordinance?
It's just a smaller word for law. It's just like a city law. Like you have to pay for paper bags. That's the ordinance.
Okay.
Changing the speed limit from 30 to 20.
Ugh.
That's a city ordinance. That was done on the local level. They didn't need the governor to sign off. The city council decided they were going to do that. They got the votes.
So what kind of things can the city councilors not have to get signed off about?
They can work things that are just in the city. It cannot be state law. They cannot override state law. It has to be just city law. So it only applies to Boston
and
proper.
And they just need 7 of everybody to be
7
like,
of everybody
hey,
to pass it on the city
okay
council level,
yep.
And then the mayor has to sign off on
How
it.
How often do they meet to go over these ordinances and laws?
They have a city council meeting almost every week on Wednesdays, which you can watch online. They're not the most exciting things in the world. let me say that again. They're not the most exciting things in the world, but you can watch them. And then they also have hearings.
Mm-hmm.
So each, there's like 13 committees. So different city councilors represent different committees, and they're the chair of that committee. If you've ever been on a nonprofit or a board before, you're in charge of that committee. So you could be in charge of the public safety committee.
Okay.
And if you are, it's your job basically to hold hearings about public safety. What are the police doing? How much is their budget? What do they need? What's the fire department need for their budget? Are their trucks new? Do they have new equipment against chemicals and hazmat? Is their youth development going to gang intervention for public safety? You get to ask all these questions about where the city is spending their money, who the partners are, what the results are. That's you standing on that soapbox or that bully pulpit, getting the answers that your community and those that care have been asking. But you have to be the chair of that committee or a member of that committee or get that committee to hold that hearing. Residents can request committee hearings. City councils could lead and do it on their own. So it's just kind of a mashup of which way you want to go with it.
All right. So coming up is the primary elections. What are we voting for in this primary elections? All of the things that we are voting for.
So in the primary, it's probably the most simple ballot you're going to see. You're going to be voting for either your city councilors at large or your district city councilor. So there should be only two races on your ballot.
That's, what are those again?
So it's the district councilor race, uh-huh. right? So you'll have in District 7, here in District 7, you'll have the incumbent, which just means the person that's in office now, which is Councilor Kim Janey. And she will appear on the ballot versus Roy Owens. Those are the only two running for that ballot.
Okay.
So they're both
that's
gonna,
just for District 7.
That's just for District 7, just to give you an example. So they're both, because there's only two, they're both going to move forward and they'll both be there again in November. Mm-hmm. If there were three, just the top two would move forward.
Okay.
Right? And on the other side of your ballot, you're going to have all 15 people that are going to run for
city councilor.
City councilor at large or citywide.
Oh.
Those four seats. Remember we talked about the four seats? So you can't vote on the nine, all nine. You just get one of the district seats, and now you get to vote on four, up to four.
Okay, so up to four.
So out of those 15, you can pick one, you can pick two, three, or four. I say that because it's different. You don't have to pick all four.
You can just pick one if you want.
You can just pick one. You can say, I only ride with one, the rest of them is whack. Or you can say, I only ride with two, I'm not really feeling the rest of them.
What is the benefit in picking four? Versus
the benefit of picking four is you give them a chance to move forward into the finals, which gives you a longer time to hear from them.
Okay.
You know, you give them another 2 months of their campaign where they can knock at your door, talk about it.
If I didn't have enough information about them, but I think that they seem like
you've heard
nice,
good things, you can throw them a vote. Them.
Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win, but I can at least push them over to the next
one. And that sends them a number. It also sends them a number. So if I'm running for office, I'm looking to see how many votes I got. Am I close to the top? Am I close to the top four? Am I far away from the top four? You know, where's my gap? I can find out what neighborhoods are feeling me, what neighbors are not feeling me. But there's a catch to that. The opposite of voting for all four, and excuse the term, some people don't like it, but it's called bullet voting.
Oh, it's bullet voting.
And bullet voting is voting for just one, like a bullseye. You're just shooting one shot. The reason why you would bullet vote, let's say I'm Team Hot Sauce, and you're running against one of these 14 other people.
Yeah.
And I don't care about the rest of them. I just want to make sure that you win.
Yeah.
If I vote for Joe Blow and you both get a vote and move up one. If every time I vote for you, everybody votes for Joe Blow, you and Joe Blow are neck and neck. All it takes is one person now to give Joe Blow a vote and not give it to you. And Joe Blow beats you.
Oh.
So to guarantee that you get up there faster, I only vote for you. I'm not giving Joe Blow a vote.
Okay.
So you're collecting votes everywhere, and Joe Blow doesn't get my second or third vote because I'm holding that one back. I want you to get a little bit of head start, a little bit of distance on him.
Okay. I like this.
That's bullet voting. And that shows up in the numbers. There's certain neighborhoods, you know, like, you know, people don't like to talk about it, but people identity vote. People vote for people that look like them.
Oh, yes,
still.
Absolutely.
You see women voting for women. You see white people voting for white. Now, this is not always the rule, but it's still the norm.
Sometimes you got a little friend from somebody. Sometimes your best friend is Asian and you want to vote for them.
Or maybe you're from that neighborhood. Yeah. You're a local kid. So, for instance, if I'm Michael Flaherty, I'm born and raised South Boston. My family's been in South Boston for generations. I'm going to do the best in South Boston. I'm going to do much better in South Boston probably than I'm going to do in Mattapan. So therefore, South Boston will give me more votes. They'll probably bullet vote for me. And they're not going to vote for your Mattapan's favorite or Roxbury's favorite. So the South Boston candidate, to make sure I get somebody from my hometown winning, I just vote for the people from my hometown. That's bullet voting.
I kind of like
bullet
voting.
So it's not terrible. Voting for your best interest.
Yeah. Like if I need this person is literally the one who was going to make us the best, then I'm just going to vote for them.
Right.
But if I have several others that I kind of like too, then I will as well.
Right.
You know, vote for them a little bit.
If you look at the 2017 election.
Oh, what is that?
These are just the voting numbers. Like where they come from.
Oh,
right?
Yes. This is good information.
So just to give you a comparison, who was on the ballot? We had Michelle Wu, Pat Piazza, who passed away.
He passed away?
Yep, recently. Michael Flaherty, Ayanna Pressley, Domingos DeRosa, Althea Garrison, Anissa Asabi George, William King. Those were the candidates in the November 7th, 2017 election. So they were the candidates for the at-large for the citywide race. There were a total votes cast was like, the, I want to say 265,000 votes cast, right? 109,000 people actually came out. And each one of those 109,000 people that cast a ballot were able to vote for up to four people. Michelle Wu topped that ticket in that race with 65,000 votes. Out of the 265,000 that were cast, Michelle Wu got 65,000.
Let's rewind. How many are technically could vote?
Well, we can't. I don't have that number. Okay. Right? I have the total people, total ballots cast. 109,000 people came, got in line, asked for a ballot.
Okay.
Each one of those people, in terms of the at-large race, was able to vote for up to four people.
Okay.
All right. So we're working off that number. So out of that batch, Michelle Wu got 65,000 votes.
That's good.
When you had a picture, you had a choice of four. Mm-hmm. She was able to get 65,000 off of that.
Okay.
The second place person was now Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, who got 57,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Third was Michael Flaherty with 51,000 votes. And fourth was Anissa Asabi George with 45,000 votes.
Now, so 45, those four people are in there.
Those are the incumbents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So fourth was 45,000 is what you needed to win a seat in 2017. Now, we all know since then, Councilor Pressley has become Congresswoman Pressley. So
and
now
Althea
Garrison, who finished fifth, with 18,000 votes.
Oh, wow.
So 30,000 vote difference.
That's a huge jump, yeah.
Right. She was able to bump up and land in that position.
Wow.
So the golden number is usually like 40 for you to get into the top four. Now, out of those, I can look at this little nerdy map right here, which probably means like this is like Braille. It's like looking at Braille, right?
Jeez, Louise, it's just numbers.
It's just numbers.
Yes.
But when I look at it, the numbers running across the top are telling me the votes by ward.
Mm-hmm.
So I can find out which neighborhoods right off the bat were the biggest neighborhood, the biggest influencers in this race.
Well, who were those neighborhoods?
And you got your list of neighborhoods,
I got
so you
my
can
list
go.
Of neighborhoods.
So the top neighborhood, you got any guesses who the top neighborhood was or which ward you want to guess?
It was probably Dorchester.
Oh, Dorchester split up, so it wasn't. The top ward was Ward 18. What neighborhood
Hyde
is that?
Hyde Park, Mattapan, Roslindale, Moss Hill, and West Roxbury.
West Roxbury makes up a huge bulk of that.
Oh.
They put 28,000 votes in.
Ooh.
From Ward 18. Ward 20 was second place. What
That's
neighborhood
Roslindale,
is that?
That's Roslindale, Moss Hill, and West Roxbury.
West Roxbury again. So now look at the trend that's starting in this election. West Roxbury had the two largest turnouts. They had 27,000, almost 28,000 votes.
Wow.
The third highest is Ward 19.
I was just about to say 19 because that also includes Jamaica Plain, Mission Hill, Roslindale, Moss Hill, and again, West Roxbury.
So now you have three wards
mm-hmm.
that dropped almost over 60,000 votes into this election.
How much did three come in at?
How much did who?
Three come, I mean,
Ward
19,
three?
Yep.
Oh, Ward the third place, it had 18,000, 18,500.
And that's still a big drop from
so
the second place.
They're like 60, they're almost 80,000 votes just in that neighborhood.
Wow.
In those three neighborhoods, 80,000 votes went in. So when you think about who has political power and leverage in the city.
West Roxbury.
Yeah. And that's just on the surface level. That's just on the voting level. That's before we get into how many hometown sons are in office,
mm-hmm.
how much other positions that they hold, how much money they donate. That's just votes.
Wow.
When you back that up, the next one's coming in is Ward 6.
And that is South Boston, another 10,000. Predominantly white.
Yep, 10,000. Then it's Ward 14 with 9,000.
That's South Dorchester, Mattapan, Roxbury, and Franklin Field.
Then you have Ward 7. Back to Ward
South
7,
Boston.
South Boston. And then you have Ward 13 and Ward 12.
That is North Dorchester.
I shouldn't say 14, 13, and 12 are still not even in the race for largest votes. It's actually 16, 17, and then 1 through 5 all beat our main wards, of which are called wards of color.
And what I see, okay, so obviously that is what you're saying is that.
Right.
We're not voting enough.
Right.
And what do you think is the reason?
Now, again, remember we started, we have the voting age population.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't see the benefit of how we can use these numbers. Mm-hmm. We don't get to see these numbers and see how they turn into political power.
Okay.
These numbers ensure that your park is clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to a park in West Roxbury, it's going to look a lot cleaner than a park in Roxbury.
Yep.
Because there's more registered voters complaining about that park. and they're going to pay attention because they know how many votes are there. I never even ran for office in West Roxbury, but yet I know how many votes are there because they're known to have the most votes, yeah. Right? So that is where our political power begins, in a vote. That's the one time where you're equal, is when you're at the voting location and your vote weighs just as much as a vote in West Roxbury, South Boston, East Boston, or Mattapan, because you only get one, or in that case, four, but you know what I'm saying, you get one ballot. Once you get past that, then then the ish comes into play, how much money you donate to campaigns, you know, where people have jobs, who's getting city jobs and all that stuff. But that is where our power begins.
Political power begins in the vote.
And you have to know what neighborhood you're voting in, what neighborhoods have similar interests, what neighborhoods have competing interests. You know, so if you live in Roxbury, most likely you're aligned. If you live in Ward 12, you probably have a lot similar with Ward 14,
North Dorchester. All right, because we're going to end this because we don't want to give you guys too much information because we have some more going out. We're going to try to push out as many of these episodes as we can leading up to the primaries. So when you see one, don't be afraid to ask questions, to share, to comment. And we will definitely go out of our way to make sure that you guys are answered appropriately and at the best of Carlos's knowledge.
I mean, our collective. I mean, I think that people could send you questions.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Questions you might not want to ask the politician at your door. Mm-hmm. The question that you feel like they're running game on you, send the question into one of us.
And then we'll figure it out.
And we'll address it on the show. We don't have to make it personal. You don't have to say which candidate told you what. But we can try to verify whether it's in their ability, what they would have to do to make that happen, so you're not falling for the okie-doke.
And if we can't do it, we will make sure that we find someone that can, and we'll hear from those people. So
maybe
you know
even
that
the candidates themselves.
Yes, we absolutely
might put them in the hot seat. Oh. They're going to be a little tight with me if I start drilling down. But you know,
but it's for the people.
The power should be with the people.
There's nobody here in this studio that is running for office
right
at this moment. Could be later.
Yeah, you should run for office someday. I think it would be good.
I like what you did just now.
And people should pay attention to what people are doing now. Like, mm-hmm. You don't think if your candidate, you know, used to run a cell phone shop, don't believe that they're necessarily going to be the best person for youth development.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're a coach and they've spent 10 years in youth development, well, then I might believe that they're going to be good in youth development.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody comes in with their own personal experience, and you should request that to find out what they might be good at and what they might not be good at.
Absolutely. I like that a lot. So just know better so that you can vote better. Those will be out soon. With that said, people, so we'll be back soon. We're gonna drop this very soon, and if you guys have any
questions, drop it tonight.
Oh,
take it to work on Tuesday with you tomorrow.
I am. We're dropping it Super Tuesdays. Tuesday.
I like when you clap on the syllables. It gets
Super
me hyped.
Super Tuesdays.
There you go.
And if you guys have any questions or concerns or comments about this episode, please make sure that you DM one of us. You can also hit me up at MissHotSauceToYou@gmail.com. Again, that's MissHotSauceToYou@gmail.com. And I'll be blasting this out everywhere. So just DM me your questions and we will work together to make sure that we get them answered for the next episode. So just keep on watching out for that.
Should we plug that live event?
Yes, I was just about to do that. Also, Carlos and I will be kicking off this podcast series very, very soon, lively.
The Young Professionals Network is hosting us.
YPN of the Urban League of Massachusetts. Join us to discuss civic engagement, leadership, and accountability with the host of the New Politics and Ish podcast, Carlos and Hot Sauce. Again, this will be on September 12th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's at 88 Warren Street in Roxbury, Mass. 02119 for more information. Again, just DM me. Don't DM him. I tell you guys all this time. Just DM me. I'm always on the line. But close us out.
Oh, you just dropped it on the island.
Put you on the spot.
Should we close out? Let us bow our heads. No.
Let us break bread.
For real, voting is important. I know there's a lot of people that don't believe in voting. I know there's a lot of people that don't believe in politics. That's cool. But whether you believe in it or not, it's still working either for you or against you. whether you like it or not. People are still going to vote on your behalf. You're still going to pay 5 cents for the plastic bag. They're still going to change the speed limit on you. Your park's still going to remain dirty if you don't get involved. The YPN network is a good way to get in. These are influencers. We want you to be an influencer on your block, in your neighborhood, in your precinct, in your ward, and in your city. And we hope that you continue to tune in to us as we help you do it. I appreciate you, Hot Sauce, for keeping this platform open and educating the people them.
Blah! I appreciate you for being here and giving us your knowledge and your experience to actually ask questions and to have an insider on the outside.
No doubt. Look at all that good, positive affirmation.
Good. We are such good black people. With that said, people, we are officially out of here. That's my sign off for everything. Oh, wow. We are officially out of here, and we will see you very, very soon.
Peace.